Well, good morning to all of you. I pray is that you are still sort of filled with turkey or whatever. And it's a great time to come together as God's people to celebrate as his family. So this morning, we begin our new sermon series, and this is our booklet, The Star. It's out on our visitors' welcome desk today. It's free for one per family, so I encourage you to pick it up today. And so as we journey in hope, I wanted to, first of all, talk about the star that stood over Jesus. And so this is the North Star, okay? This is in our hemisphere, and it's also known as Polaris, and it basically sits over the celestial part of the northern sky, over the North Pole, so that all the stars go around as the world goes around. But this star is almost exactly over our North Pole. So therefore, this is how people navigate by a star that does not move. And the easiest way to find the North Star is this way with the Big Dipper. Okay, so if you take a mark, American Doobie, and you draw a straight line and it goes right to Polaris, but you also have the Little Dipper as well, the handle, also points to Polaris. So it is my guess, and this is only my guess, is that somehow they triangulated the star that was Jesus' star. So that was their way of finding exactly the exact location where Jesus was. Now, this is me giving you my opinion, okay? Please understand. I'm not a scientist. I'm not an astrologist or anything like that. But this is just my idea. So when we begin to look at all of these things, is that there is a way to find Polaris, and there is a way to find Star Jesus, and that Star Jesus is found on the cross. When we look to the cross, we see God in action in our lives as he dies for us and he rises again on Sunday. So when we begin to look at this, you have this booklet today. If you haven't gotten it yet, I encourage you to pick one up. It's today we begin our journey of Advent. And basically, Advent is not journeying to Christmas. Okay, Advent is looking at the end of times. Jesus came the first time, which we call Christmas, but on that final day, he will come. So we're like the people in the Old Testament. We are looking for the king to return, as the people in the Old Testament were looking for the king to come. So we are preparing ourselves. We are on watch, and we are patiently waiting for Jesus to return. So as we look at all these things today, how do we explore our journey of hope in Christ? Well, the first thing we need to do is acknowledge is that we live in the world of darkness. Okay, that's the first thing that has to happen. So would you read this Bible verse together with me? We read together. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Do we live in a dark world or what? I mean, when you turn on the news, what do you see? Darkness, darkness, darkness. You get to see some light occasionally, but it's mostly darkness, darkness, and darkness. We see darkness in our world in the shootings in stores, theaters, schools, and the street. We see robbery and kidnappings, coarse discourse, political unrest. We hear of wars. We see footage of wars, and we see earthquakes. I mean, this is a dark world groaning, if you will, in pains of childbirth, looking for the Messiah to come and return and make it whole once again. The world we live in is filled with sin. I mean, you can name the sin, it is there. And we live in this world, and therefore we too are sinful human beings living in the land of darkness. And Lord, we acknowledge that we need light in our lives. So could you imagine if you lived in a cave and the only thing you ever saw were the walls of the cave? You never saw light? I mean, your eyes at some point in time may adjust, may not. But the whole process is you would miss a world of light, a world of hope, a world of sun and warmth and everything else that light brings. So today, Lord, we acknowledge that we live in a world of darkness, and we also have darkness in our lives as well. So let's acknowledge the darkness in our lives. Let's read this verse together, too. We read together. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. We as believers in Jesus Christ acknowledge and we groan just like the world groans, because this is heavy stuff to live in sin. Sin brings sickness. Sin brings sorrow. It's so severe in our world today that many people are taking their lives because of the darkness in their own lives. But we have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, and we eagerly await for Jesus to return, because we have been adopted in our baptism into God's family, and we're looking for that final day for the redemption of our bodies. When you get older, you recognize that the body gets tired. The body is cranky. The bones don't work as well. The muscles don't work as well. And sometimes we don't even recognize how ill we feel, because we're just so used to not feeling 100% well. This is this kind of darkness that comes into our own lives just as well. So, headlines in the news, does that put a darkness over you when you look at the news? You just want to turn it off, leave the world, because it's no more fun to hear what's going on in our lives. Christmas lights can light up our home, but Christmas lights will not light up your heart. Darkness can feel so consuming that you have no hope at all. You're totally engulfed in darkness. It's like a dark rain cloud that is just over you, and you feel the results of what is going on in your lives. So in this booklet, I cheated and I got ahead of you for the first week, and in there is one line I really like from Star Wars, Princess Leia: "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope." Well, we need hope too, do we not? And our hope is in Jesus. He is the only one who can help us. From the booklet, here are some questions to ponder on. So from the booklet, what causes you to feel overwhelmed with darkness? So I just, for example, put lack of money. I don't know if that fits your budget, but it sometimes fits my budget, especially as we're going into the Christmas season, is how do I make sure that we take care of our kids, grandchildren, everything that has to happen with the amount of money that we have. So the second question in the booklet was, what in your life might be causing spiritual light pollution? Light pollution is basically when you're in the city, you can't see the stars. But if you ever go out west and go to a mountain range, no lights around you, you can see a whole bunch more stars because there is no light pollution on the ground. So I was thinking about what kind of light pollution do I have in my life. I called it busyness. So if I'm focused on not having enough money and I'm so busy that I just can't really focus on anything else but what's going on in my world, because the faster I go, because December 25th is coming and I need to make sure that everything is prepared. Now, as a guy, we prepare a little bit different than you ladies, right? I mean, you do deep preparing, we do surface preparing. But we recognize that we're all busy this time of the year. And in the booklet it says, how will you step towards the light? So if money is the issue and you're so busy, how can you step forward to the light? Is open your Bible in the morning or evening or whatever time works for you. Get into scripture, get into prayer, spend some time alone with the only one who can bring you hope, and his name is Jesus. So have you reached the point in your life where you realize God is your only hope? I hope so. Help me, Jesus. You're my only hope. So you don't have to live in darkness. You know, did the sun come out this morning? Did you see it? I mean, we didn't see it for a few days, but it was out this morning. And driving in, and I'm driving this direction with the sun behind me, getting on the interstate, and the sun shines right in my mirror, so I cannot see if there's a car coming in the other lane. And so I have to turn around and look because it is so bright. And brightness is something that I need in my world, just as all of us need brightness in our world as well. So let's talk about live in the light this morning, okay? So Jesus lights up our world and Jesus lights up our lives. Just as there was darkness in the world, darkness in our lives, Jesus is the light. So let's read this together as well. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So you recognize when you go home at night and it's dark in your house and you flip on the light, darkness disappears. You see that? So when Jesus shines in your heart, when Jesus shines in your life, that darkness is dissipated. It is gone because Jesus fills your life with light. So how can we live in light? Well, the first thing is to acknowledge that we live in a land of darkness. We are sin-infested. Because we are sinners, there is darkness in our hearts. And we invite Jesus as believers to come into our hearts, to open our hearts, so that the light can shine in our own spiritual darkness. The Bible says that we were dead in our transgressions. We were afraid of God as his enemies. And so too, as now as the Holy Spirit has come into our world, our lives, his light shines not only our lives, but in our very hearts. God sees the wickedness in our hearts. And as we confess, Lord, change me to be more like Jesus. Change me to be a person of hope. Change me to be a servant. Change me, Lord, to be more like you. Secondly, when you take a flashlight, if I took a flashlight this morning and shone it in this auditorium, the sanctuary, would it make a big deal? But if you go in a darkened room, you turn on a flashlight, it is a big deal, right? So we've been at times when our power has gone out in our home, and so we either get the candles out or the flashlights, whatever it is, and it makes a difference. So reduce the distractors in your lives. Look at your world, how busy you are, and how thirdly can you more focus on Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. So we have hope that does not disappoint. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. No matter what comes our way, we have confidence and we can face it because we have grace and forgiveness. God loves us so much that he goes to the cross for our darkness. Not just the darkness in the world, but our own spiritual darkness. And he brings us into his light. Well, I can tell you, when I was a kid, I couldn't wait for Christmas to come, okay? Any kid in here today? Okay. Is that I wanted to see what would magically appear under the Christmas tree. And it was kind of my hope that I would get what I asked Santa for. You know, remember those days? when you were a kid, and it was just so exciting, and that was one of the few days I would actually get out of bed early. You understood that? Because there was a Christmas present under the tree with my name on it. Jesus has come to give us a special present, and that is himself. He has given us his life so that we may have life. So how can we embrace the wait this morning? Well, first of all, let's see faith's outcome this morning. Would you read Hebrews 11:1 with me? We read together. Now, faith is confident in what we hope for and assurance in what we do not see. Well, when I waited for Christmas, I was hoping for, that was kind of my faith, that that gift would appear under the Christmas tree. And I was ecstatic when I had a new bicycle beside the Christmas tree because it wouldn't fit under the Christmas tree. But that's exactly what I asked for. And I was filled with joy. You see, that's what hope does. It fills us with joy. It fills us with, hey, we can go and battle this dark world because there is light in us. Light in our heart, light in our soul. A way to say, Lord, I can do all things. And this darkness is seen in our lives at times. When we're angry with other people, when we're bitter with other people, when we're impatient with other people. And I can tell you, I'm one of the worst of sinners because that darkness at times is in my life. When I'm impatient with my spouse or impatient with family or whatever it is, sometimes I'm just impatient with the TV. I want it now. But that's not how the world works. And that's not how Jesus works either. He calls us to wait patiently for him because he is our hope and our only hope. Embrace the wait is to commit to the journey just as well. So let's read this together as well. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Advent is a time of waiting. Waiting for Christmas, but waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane to the disciples? Is to wait and to watch. And that's what Advent is. It's a waiting time and a watching time. To see Jesus working in your world, to see Jesus working in your life, and to share the light that is within you so that others who are living in darkness may see the light of Jesus and come to him as well. Advent is a time of living in hope in a hopeless world. Being people who can smile in the face of adversity. What are your hopes and your dreams this December? Did you ever recognize that hopelessness and hurting don't take off the month of December? You wish they did, wouldn't they? But they don't. There are more people who are hopeless, at least it seems to rise to that level, in the month of December. Because this is a time of the year that we're expected to function well as family. We're expected to be filled with joy because this is the season of joy. There are so many expectations on us that many times these expectations drive us down to our knees. So if we are driven down to our knees, we look up to the cross. We see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who has died for us, who brings us hope. We come to the very altar of grace this morning saying, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Come, Lord Jesus, now. Come, Lord Jesus, you are our only hope. Come, Lord Jesus, I need you now. Lord, thank you for coming to our world the first time, thanking for your life and your death. And Lord, we wait patiently this morning with hope that you will return soon. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's children say, amen.